Thank you. I want to welcome you tonight, too, to our Simple Home Remedies Weekend. And our speaker is Brent Wagoner from Loveland, Colorado. He is the Lifestyle Director at Eden Valley Institute. And he has worked with people with all different kinds of diseases. And he's going to be talking about food, healing foods, and herbs. And I can tell you from experience, when we were up there in Eden Valley, I bought some of his salves. And I bought some of his herbal tinctures that he's made. And there's one in particular. If you feel a cold or sore throat coming on and you take this tincture, it just knocks it right out. So he knows what he's talking about with herbs. And so he'll be sharing all these different things with us. And I'd like you to give a hearty welcome to Brent Wagoner.
Good evening. Thank you for your warm welcome and hospitality. It's beautiful here. I was in San Diego back in 1985. I went into the U.S. Navy, and I didn't think much of San Diego back then. I remember every plane I saw take off, I wish I was on that plane. You know, boot camp, what can you say? But anyway, that's a while ago. Welcome. We like to be in good health, because we can serve our Lord freely that way. If we're thinking clearly and feeling good, we can minister to people. Food, as we know, can be a real temptation. It's very pleasurable. It's comforting. But it can come to a place where it's too comforting. And it's a crutch. And we're going to go through tonight food pharmacy. So we're going to be talking about foods that are protective. Actually, first we're going to kind of go into foods that are not protective. And look at that, and we'll go from there. Just a moment. Let me pray, would you? Father, help me to speak clearly in front of these dear people of you. Thank you. Food pharmacy. How many of you like variety? Sure. Do you think God is a God of variety? Yeah, look at us. Each one of us is different, right? And he knew that we would enjoy variety. I was in Africa for 2 years the first time. I lived in Tanzania. Life was really good. I lived at a Tanzanian family's house up in the bush, about 6,000 feet elevation. And they really took good care of me. They would cook me breakfast, I would have lunch, and give me supper if I wanted it, and there would always be a 5-gallon bucket of hot water to take a bath in. And I was just treated like royalty. And the first year I worked in the mechanic shop, and the second year I worked in the primary healthcare clinic. I learned to give shots, and I learned to pull teeth, and all of these things. It was pretty interesting. I really enjoyed it. But every time for lunch, I would go home, and it would be prepared for me, but it would be the same thing every time. Have you ever heard of ugali? Well, if you speak Swahili, you would know ugali. Ugali is like a cornmeal cake, I guess. They stir it over a big steaming pot with a big spoon. And at the end of it, when it's just right, they know how to do it. They put it in a plate or a bowl that has pretty shapes in it, and then they go, and they take off that, and then you cut a piece of the pie, you put it on your plate, and they don't use silverware, you just grab it, and it's so hot, you're burning your hand, but you squeeze it, and you squeeze it, and you squeeze it, and you squeeze it, and you have good conversation, and you keep squeezing it until the temperature is down low enough. And then you take your spoon tool, and you press a spoon into that chunk of cornmeal, and you dip up your relish with it, and you eat it without it going down your elbow and your chin. I got pretty good after a while. But that's kind of you sit down and you talk. It's a real enjoyable time. And but anyway, I go home for lunch, and it's always ugali. I'm American, right? I like variety. I grew up with variety. So it's so easy to be oh, Lord, thank you for this food. I'm sick of it. You know what I mean? Maybe you've been there. The Lord was good. What I'm trying to bring out the point is some people, and you might be a person that also likes the dog food diet. How many here like the dog food diet? You have the same thing maybe every breakfast. Yeah, okay, I see some hands coming up. Sure, we have those things that we really enjoy, and we can make a whole meal out of that. And so I just want to encourage you to try to break out of that dog food diet routine and try to get more color. As you see in the picture, this is only a small sample, but think color, think rainbows when you eat, because you need those flavonoids and those biochemicals that are in there. And they're all there for a reason, all different colors, and they're protective. And we need the protection that comes from that, the different colors that are in the food. Okay, sorry, I've been rambling on there. Let's move on. Let me change. All right. These guys are supposed to be authorities, and they said that research clearly shows that a diet with plenty of fruits and vegetables is good for health. But Americans are not reaching the basic goal of 5 or more servings a day. Do you sit down and count your servings of fruits and vegetables? Most of us don't, you know. We're there to enjoy ourselves. Well, going on with this same thought here, a greater number of studies have shown that a diet with rich in fruits and vegetables is a protective effect against cancer. Persons with high fruit and vegetables intakes have half the risk. Now get the last sentence up there. It says, a lack in a single serving each day may add up to a great deficit over time. Have you ever thought of it like that? If you don't eat the broccoli, if you don't eat the broccoli now, when are you going to eat it? I mean, you have a choice. You're sitting at a table and maybe you have garlic bread there or whatever you enjoy, and there's salad. You know, which are you going to eat? Most of us would choose the garlic bread or the cereal. We like the breads, the carbohydrates. It's just satisfying. You know, cauliflower or Brussels sprouts compared to, for some of us, that would be a real chore. The point I'm trying to say is we need to try to make conscious efforts and decisions while we're eating to say, no, I think I'll have what I know is better for me or is more protective for me. That's important when we sit down and eat. I don't always come out with the right answer, but that's a good thing to do. These are real old pictures, the food pyramid. You've probably seen this one. And the Clinton administration came up with it, and I think it had its merits. It helped people to see what they were eating and kind of think about it more. But actually, this pyramid has caused more diabetes and weight gain than anything that came before it. Yeah, because those are simple carbohydrates. There's nothing really redeeming about them. And then you have the Mediterranean food pyramid, which is a little bit better. It's a cut above. But again, instead of white bread, instead of Wonder Bread, you have brown bread. It's a little bit better. They put molasses in it, right? Moving on here. Oh, they also included daily exercise, which is very important. We all need exercise, and we want to push that. Okay, this is another one that came out. It's not really good for old people because you can't read it. It's so the lettering is so small. It's like for kids, you know. They're all exercising and having a great time there. Okay, this is a recent one, choosemyplate.gov. It's pretty simple, and it kind of helps people to see the portions of maybe. And Karen, you may be totally against this food pyramid. I don't know. But anyway, at least protein, the dairy lobby got in here, of course. You always notice the dairy lobby gets everywhere. But the protein is not a slab of steak. It can come from beans or nuts or things like that. Whole grains, when you mix these, they're loaded. In fact, vegetables have lots of protein in them, as we'll look at here in a little bit. Okay, we've looked at the world's pyramids, but I want to show you a pyramid that was kind of drawn up by Dr. Lee Hitchcock. He was searching for the healthiest people group in the world. And we've heard of the Blue Zones, Loma Linda, all right, and there's many others, Okinawa, Japan. And he used these criterias. This is what he looked for. They had to live long, healthy lives, relatively disease-free. They were mentally alert, physically active, living past the age of 100 years of age. And when they died, they had all their teeth and their hair. And he came up with the Hunzas. You've probably heard of the Hunzas in Afghanistan area. All right, these are very healthy people. And this is what they ate, 40% whole grains. Is this a little bit too close? I just keep putting my head down and it causes problems. Okay, so as you look at that, 40% whole grains, 30% vegetables, fruits, 15, a lot of beans, 10%. And look at what makes up their high fat. Seeds, nuts, avocados, and soy. All right. And there, of course, B12 came from animal products there, 1%. So really, this gave these people very much health. And their lifestyle, they worked hard in their gardens and what else that they did. All right. This is the average American diet. Look at that, 44% animal products. It's like totally inverted. Meat, you know, it's mostly dairy. 39% refined carbohydrates, sugar, and white flour. You know, if you go to some Quick Trip and you buy stuff off the shelf, it's what it is. It's flour, it's sugar, it usually has lots of fat mixed in with it because it's, you know, makes it tasty and it's easy to consume, but it's not much health. Vegetable fats, 10%, vegetables, 4%. Fruits, 3%, and those are either canned or frozen. All right. To have, to make live tissue, you need live food. And raw, fresh food has its enzymes. Now, you can dry products, and they still have their enzymes if you don't turn the dryer over 105 degrees. It won't destroy the enzymes. It is labor-intensive, more so. But it concentrates the flavors if you would dry your food, but it's still a way you can do it. But fresh is the best. It really is. So just focus on fresh, green things. Now this next, I have this. I can actually walk away. Maybe this is good. Isn't that pretty? I like that. The WHO, the World Health Organization, they came up with this way back in the 60s. And so we've known this knowledge for a long time. But what it is, it's a comparison between countries that have killer diseases and eat low refined plant foods, unrefined plant foods. And then you go to the right side, you see very low killer diseases, and you see a very high intake of unrefined plant food. Just beginning here, you see Hungary in the USA. Killer diseases, sure, 90%, nearly 80 there, and you know, very little fresh stuff. But you come over here to Thailand and Laos, it's totally the opposite. So if you want to live like the Thais and the Laotians, you need to eat like they do. It's as simple as that, for the most part. The more unrefined plant food you have, the longer and healthier you will be. That's what God made us to run on. That was in the Garden of Eden to start out with. And that's the best food. He knows. Okay, I know how to do this. Okay, I'm sorry, it's so small, but this is from a book, Eat to Live by Dr. Joel Fuhrman. And it's an excellent book. And he works with people that are very overweight and wanting to get a control of their dietary, the way they eat, and he just puts them on plant food, and they lose weight, and they get well. And so it's a really neat book to read, but if you can see these things, look at this. I'll stay on this side, but, okay, before you look, no one's looked at this yet, hopefully. Don't look, stop. What has more protein? beef, meat, or romaine lettuce? Trick question. Of course, let me qualify this. This is per 100-calorie portion. It can be a 1-calorie portion. It doesn't matter. But we're looking up here at a 100-calorie portion. What has more protein? Okay, man, I can't see that. Okay, 11 grams for the broccoli, 6 grams for the steak, 7 grams for romaine lettuce, and 7 grams for kale. Isn't that neat? Now, I know that 100 calories of romaine lettuce is a mighty big portion. All right, I understand that, but just look at all these good things. From saturated, okay, there's no saturated fat, no cholesterol in the green things that God made, but it's in the meat. But everything else, vitamin E, beta carotene, alpha carotene, vitamin A, vitamin C, zinc, and you go up the list. The green things are loaded. And we need this, we need these nutrients. If you eat things that come in a package or a box, generally, and it's quick and easy to prepare, unfortunately, there's not much left in it as far as things that would feed our body. Okay. I'm not cooperating with the sound people. Now, this next list you see here, this is the Andy Nutrient Density list. You want this one? Keep it. Okay, I'm wired. If you would see everything on the left of the slide there, it's under 100. There's a bigger number the farther left you go. Okay, what in this list, 100 is maximum nutrition. Okay, of all the plants or of all the foods there are, maximum nutrition. And you'll see kale. You'll see mostly the greens there. Kale, mustard greens, collard, Swiss chard, watercress, spinach, and arugula. Okay, maximum nutrition. And so it's good to eat those. Eat a lot of them. The other green vegetables, can you guys even read that? Sorry. But I'll go on. But the under zero, refined sweets on the right side, cookies, cakes, candy, soda. Those are losers for sure. Okay. Just looking at omega-3. Omega-3 is it's great for us. We know it's loaded in flax, walnuts, soybeans, tofu. Good omega-3. And I know there's more sources, but these and they're easy to get. We recommend people enjoy those. They really help with inflammation. So if you're having an inflammation issue in your body, you want to bone up on your omega-3s. Very helpful. Okay, lutein and zeaxanthin. These are very good for macular, your eye issues. If you have degeneration, macular degeneration or other eye issues, I would really eat a lot of the greens. They're loaded with these very important nutrients. Also very good for breast cancer, lung cancer. It's the lutein and zeaxanthin really helps with that. Okay, and this is just a sample serving, so you'll see eggs up there, and you might see milk or eggs. I may not be promoting that, but it's just up there so you can compare those. Calcium. This is neat. 100 calories of bok choy is the super. It's the super guy. My grandmother, this is a neat story. My grandmother, it's sad, but she's 92, and she has lived a typical Midwestern lifestyle, you know, sugar and meat and milk, dairy products, ice cream, no doubt. And when she was 90 years of age, she's a very active lady, and she and her friend were going to play cards at someone else's house. And the lady was walking up the steps, and she grabbed for the handrail, and she didn't get a good grip, and she fell back on grandmother. Grandma fell on the sidewalk and broke her hip. The other lady fell in the flower bed, and she was okay. So grandma broke her hip. And so I was far away, but we mailed her some herbs that are very high in mineral building density, you know, building bone density. And I said, you must start eating bok choy, lots of it. And she'd never had bok choy in her life. But she did it faithfully. And she says, you know, when I started, I didn't like it. But she says, I like it now. Yeah. And so she can walk now. She likes to use her cane, but she can walk without a cane now. And I was so thankful that she didn't go the other way, because a lot of people, when they break their hip, it's over. But anyway, these greens are loaded with calcium. And we recommend you get it from organic sources, the plants, right? Because the plants, it's made for us to eat. If we go out and we lick chalk or, you know, grind up bone meal or something, that's not good. We don't want to do that. Okay, this is a nice comparison here. We're looking at different countries. We're looking at comparing the protein intake per day and hip fracture rate per 100,000. And as you can see, it's kind of interesting there. The South Africa, the blacks, they had the less, well, they didn't have the least hip fracture, but they ate the least of the animal protein. But let's go all the way down to New Zealand and the US of A. We see they have a lot of hip fractures, and they're eating 72 to 77 grams per day. Look at Norway. Norway eats less, but they have more hip fractures. And I think that's because they're up very high, so they don't get a lot of natural vitamin D from the sun. And vitamin D is very important to put calcium into your bones. Magnesium is very important to put calcium into your bones. And so we encourage magnesium and calcium if you want to have good bones. And you have to do weight-bearing exercises. You have the osteoclasts that break the bone apart and the osteoblasts that build the bone. And you need to stress your bones so they build the bone. If you just sit in a chair, you drive a lot or these things, you may get weak bones. So exercising and bearing burdens. I tell that my wife all the time. You know, science says you need to bear heavy burdens, dear, so bring in the wood. No. I play with her, though. Okay, these are some factors that increase the loss of calcium in your urine. And animal protein is number one. Why does animal protein cause calcium loss? Animal protein is an acidic food. So it's acid-forming. So when you eat it, just like a soda pop, if you drink a can of Coke or a can of something that has carbonation in it, you drink that down, it's phosphoric acid. So since it's acid, it's telling the body, hey, you know, we're acid. The body understands this. So the body has to take calcium from your bones to buffer the blood. If it didn't do that, you would die. One can of Coke would kill you. It would plunge your blood into too far of an acid state. But God has fearfully and wonderfully made us that we can handle that. It's an emergency system, but the body handles it without any problems. So we want to encourage you to stay away from things that cause a lot of calcium loss. And of course, eating greens and things like that helps to build that calcium. Again, let's compare animal protein with plant protein. I won't read them, but just look at them. And again, plant protein is a winner. Now, there may be somebody here. Usually it's a very low percentage, but there are some people that do require animal protein. They're kind of like cats are. You know, cats need to have usually animal protein. But most people do just fine on plant proteins. Dietary trends in America. You can see up there that protein, until 1990, protein was about the same. But since the 90s, protein has really increased in how much we eat of that. Fat definitely has increased. Fat sells things. If your food doesn't have fat in it, if it doesn't satisfy you, nobody's going to buy it, so they make it to eat. Of course, increased sugar, but notice the complex carbohydrate, it has reduced, so there's more refined foods. This is a recipe for diabetes. This is a recipe for cancer. This is a recipe for weight gain. Of all the problems, all the lifestyle issues that we have, the way we are eating in this country, that's where it comes from. So, and I may be preaching to the choir here, I'm sorry, but it's just, God help us to eat well. You know, we always have choices to make. I want you to meet my family. They are in the middle picture. This is Baba, or Godson Sangha, and Mama Sangha. I never did learn her first name, but it was started with an A, but we always called her Mama. These were very dear people to me, and I lived with them for about 2 years. But what we're talking about here is Dr. Dennis Burkett did some studies in the 50s in Africa, and he learned a lot of things. He was from England. He learned a lot of things, and he said, look, people in Britain or Western Europe and America, they are getting sick. There's a lot of lifestyle diseases that they're coming down with, and it's because they don't have enough fiber in their diet. Well, all his comrades laughed him to scorn. They said, no, come on. Fiber has nothing to do with it. He says, no, it does. And so he did a test and started to talk about this. But what he did was he compared all of those people on the left there. And what he did, he checked their disease prevalence and how much fiber they ate every day. And so the Americans and Western Europeans had maximum disease, and they had only 11 grams of fiber there per day. Now, this is crude fiber. This is how the English measure. Okay, let's go to the rural Africans on the bottom. They had minimum disease prevalence, and they had 40 grams of fiber per day in their meal or in their food. Okay, let's go to, I'm sorry about this, but transit times. That is food from the front door to the back door. You understand? Okay, 70 hours for those Americans and Europeans. 70 hours that food was in your GI tract. And he weighed the stools, and they were 110 grams, okay, per day. Now look at the Africans. 35-hour transit time, 500 grams weight. What did it? Well, it was the excess water that was in the fiber. You need that lubrication that's in the water, the fiber, and the fiber cleans the intestinal walls. We know that. But when he presented this study, people said, wow, it does make a difference. And it really does. These are the diseases. He says you will not get these diseases, likely, if you eat enough fiber in your diet. Now, I know that women give birth, and you have to use pressure sometimes, so you could get varicose veins or some other issues. But in general, by having enough fiber, you can really take care of a lot of problems. I just want to look at cancer. We, at Eden Valley, we seek to assist people that are dealing with cancer. We try to support them every way we can nutritionally. We seek to build up their immune system. We always take everybody and we put them on a good vegan vegetarian diet. And we've got great cooks. It tastes very nice. And anyway, those are some of the cancers that seem to be related to animal products. I'm going to move on here. If my wife was in the back, she'd be going, you're talking too long. Breast cancer risks. Now, I'm sorry, I don't have the footnotes from this or the sources. But you see the stair-step relationship from less than once a week to 2 to 4 times a week to almost daily of these animal products. Meat, eggs, and butter and cheese. For some reason, there was a protective effect in the butter and cheese if you had it daily, whereas if you didn't, but still, it's not as good as having less than once a week. Moving along, ovarian cancer. Again, the lacto-ovos were much better than those who used meat, as you can see there. Okay. I used to be in the Navy, and when I was in the Navy, I was a pagan. You guys know what a pagan is, right? Okay. And we would eat anything that we could catch, from fishing, spear fishing, or whatever. And we would cook it, and I liked mine cooked well done. All right. There may be people here that like well done things, but not so good. Look at this. They did a study on the risk factors of how people like to, how well done they do their meat, and the use of brown gravies. All right, it has the grease in it, the oil from the meat. Okay, look at colon there. Increased risk from boiled meat, the colon was 1.7. That was the normal risk, and rectum 2.7. But look at you, if you fry your meat and you heavily brown those surfaces, the colon goes up to 2.8. But look what happens to the rectum. It goes all the way up to 6. So definitely, yeah, it does matter how you prepare your food. And if you do eat animal products, definitely stay away from using, cooking it too much, because it makes it very dangerous. Does meat have carcinogens in it? Well, there would probably be a big debate on that, but they did this, and they took a kilo of steak and they charcoal broiled it on the grill. Okay, does anybody here like to grill? No one put their hand. Okay, there's some truthful people, honest people. Thank you. I appreciate that. I like the way it tastes, too. All right. Have you ever heard that psst, psst, when you're broiling things? Okay, some more people have broiled, I can see. Yeah, what is that? What makes that sound? Too hot with the iron, maybe? Okay, but what's making that sound? Grease. I got a story for you. Does anybody know Herschel Henley? Okay, he's an Anglo-Indian. He came over to the States when he was in his early 20s, I think. So he talks with an English accent, you know, or as they do in India. He's 80 this year. This guy is amazing, incredible health, still got hair color, lots of energy. Anyway, I was going with him door to door. We were at a trailer park, and we met this lady. She was an elderly lady. And she invited us in, and anyway, he made good friends with her. So he went back. He told me this story, so I'm telling you what the story was. He took some pants to have her hem them up because she was a seamstress. And she said, "Would you like some cornbread?" And he can put it on too. He said, "Well, I'd love some cornbread." And so she gave him this cornbread, and he ate it. He says, "Oh, Miss So-and-so, this is so good. What's your secret?" And she said, "It's the drippings that are the secret." And he's vegetarian, and he was like, "Pfft." And he didn't ask for any more. So things like that happen. But yeah, it's the drippings that fall into the hot coals, and that's what goes, pfft, pfft. All right. When you superheat these the grease from the animal, you're changing the matrix. You're making new chemicals with that superheat. And one of them is benzopyrene. And as this benzopyrene then goes up and it coats the meat, you don't know it, but it's there. And then if you would eat that, it's going to have contact with your mouth, with your throat, your tongue, you know, your GI tract. And it just increases cancers with the GI tract and leukemia. So people ask, "Well, can I shish kebab my veggies?" You can, but don't burn them. Charcoal from wood and charcoal from food are two different things. Okay, if you take charcoal medicinally from trees or coconuts, they make them out of different things. Okay, there's a very low fat content in the wood or the coconut shells, so on. But food usually has fat in it, and you don't want that to go rancid or to be burned. So don't eat your toast if it's burned too much. You know what I mean. I know a lot of people like to dip their burnt toast in their tea. Okay, coffee use and bladder cancer. Normal risk was number one. Those were the non-coffee users. Okay, but look at those that had 2 cups or more a day. 2 times the risk for bladder cancer. And they did this in a place called Loma Linda, California. You guys may know that. Isn't it San Bernardino County? Because there they could find a large group of men who abstained from coffee and who used coffee. And this is what they came up with. I thought that was very interesting. Okay. This is the American Cancer Society. I want you to look at these because this is really interesting. This is really basic information, but it's eye-opening. Okay, if you want to reduce your risk, you want to add these protective factors. Eat more cabbage, high-fiber foods, eat foods with lots of vitamin A and vitamin C, and you want to add weight control into your lifestyle. So that would include exercise and not eating the wrong things. But then there's factors that you want to remove out of your life. And these are those, have you guys ever heard of Slim Jims? Beef jerky? Okay, those are the salt-cured, smoked, nitrate-cured foods. Cheeses, those real heavy yellow cheeses or the real sharp ones, pretty dangerous because of the nitrates. So stay away from those. Trim fat out of your diet. Stop cigarette smoking. Go easy on the alcohol. And respect the sun. Interesting that 9 of these have to do with your mouth. You notice? The last one doesn't have to do with your mouth, but all the other ones have to do with your mouth. What was Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden for? Well, I know, they disobeyed God. But it was through appetite that they fell. And so today, I think our biggest challenge is the appetite. We need to surrender it to Jesus. We need to put it on the altar and say, God, if this isn't good for me, take it. I don't want it if it's not good. Help us to have self-control. Now, you'll notice there that it says respect the sun. Is the sun evil? No, we need the sun. We may not want to be burned by it. We may not want to be out in the sun like I was. Am I turning pink? I was at SeaWorld today and got burned probably, but don't get burned. Okay. The Surgeon General says stop smoking and make dietary common sense changes. All right. How many people like to go to Burger King and get those strawberry shakes? All right. And McDonald's and Hardee's and all the others, Carl Jr.'s, they're probably all the same. You understand that they package food so they can take it off the shelf and do whatever they do quickly and serve it. Okay, so everything's made quickly. It's made to stay on the shelf as long as it needs to without going rancid or bad. Now, this is not the milk or the sugar. This is only the ingredients for the strawberry flavor. In a Burger King strawberry shake. You'll not find one strawberry in that list. There's some alcohol and rose rum ether, vanillin, solvent, lots of goodies up there. By the way, do you remember the Olympics wasn't too... How long was the Olympics when it was in Atlanta? How many years has that been? 96. Is that 96? Okay. There was a lady that went to that, and she got a McDonald's cheeseburger. It was wrapped up in a special wrapping, and she put it on her shelf. And I think 10 years later, she looked at it. It looked exactly the same as the day she bought it. Preservatives. Those that put us, that lay us to rest in the earth, say that they don't need as much embalming fluid as they used to use. The records show that they need less, because we're embalming ourselves by going to McDonald's and these other places, by eating from boxes. We're embalming ourselves. So be careful. Be careful. Okay. Does diet have effect on skin cancer? Well, of course it does. They took some volunteer bunnies and they put them in these cages under high intensity lights for 24 hours a day, for 24 weeks. Or was that, 24 weeks. And those that had regular rabbit chow got cancer, 24%. But those that had regular rabbit chow mixed with extra vitamin A and E, is it? Or C? No, C and E. Did not get cancer. And so vitamins are very important. Now, I am not telling you to go out and start buying all these synthesized vitamins on the shelves. No. I want you to go to a better place. Go to God's pharmacy and do your best to get your vitamins and your minerals from the food you eat. It's ready for you to eat. Have you heard of the recommended daily allowance? Okay. If you want to be healthy, you want to supersede that. Okay, that's to keep people from getting beriberi, pellagra, those common long time ago diseases. No. You want lots. And 60 for human beings, they say, is what you should have a day. 60 milligrams. But you want to eat a lot more than that. So eat your good foods. Make the most of it. We're going to buzz through these pretty quick here. High sources of vitamin E, your wheat germ oils, sunflower, almond, safflower. Very good. Even blueberries. You can get vitamin E. So we recommend that. Moving along, vitamin A. Of course, your yams, your orange, your greens, your reds have lots of vitamin A. Okay, I'm pushing on here. Okay, anti-cancer. Now, everyone knows these, okay, so I'm not telling you anything new here. But your umbelliferous vegetables are winners. Sorry, the pictures don't equal the words that are in the picture. Again, your cruciferous vegetables. These are so important, folks. Does anybody not like Brussels sprouts in here? I've learned that if I put gravy on them, I can get them down. If I can hide them somehow. But even, like, if you don't like broccoli, I know there's some people that really don't care for broccoli, but what you can do is you can grow broccoli sprouts. And in that sprout, it has the same amount as the whole broccoli plant of anti-cancer properties. So you can just chuck in a bunch of, a handful of sprouts into your smoothie that has all these other flavors to cover the ugly that might be in the broccoli. You know, you don't like it. You know what I mean? But it's so easy to get this and to hide it if you don't like it. And I recommend you do that. Make the most out of it and try to get lots of sprouts from these cruciferous vegetables. Very protective. Oh, let me not bore you. Except for the Cornell University. Okay, they gave rats substance that causes breast cancer. It's funny, they say they don't know what causes cancer. Come on. They know. They know very well. Anyway, the two groups were fed the same amount, the same except one group got 20% ground up Brussels sprouts. 70% of the group not eating Brussels sprouts developed cancers. Only 13% of the Brussels sprout group got cancer. So they're definitely there. There's some correlation. You can see there's some help with the broccoli or the Brussels sprouts. Okay, then they gave the 13% of the Brussels sprout group those that had cancers were given Brussels sprouts and their cancers stopped spreading. So even though those things taste terrible, my taste bud anyway, they're very good for you. Make the most of it. Phytochemicals and foods, you need the protection. Look at it this way. I don't know if you believe that there's a great controversy going on and that Satan is trying to destroy God's people and God is trying to protect his people. But I believe this is going on around us right now. And just think, if heavenly angels, your guardian angel, wasn't there to protect you, what would Satan want to do to you? Right? Snuff you out. It's the same way with foods. If you're not eating healthy food that has these biochemicals to protect you, these plant chemicals to protect you, you're not being protected. So if you eat Twinkies and ding-dongs and donuts and soda pop or white bread or crackers that come from a box, totally, you know what I mean. If you're eating the normal fare of normal America, you are not being protected. There's nothing there to protect you. Please, eat whole food for your protection. You know, there's wonderful cookbooks around and ways to do it. Someone showed me how to do something real quick and easy, and I forgot what it was, and I forgot who it was. It was on this trip. Sorry, this has been a whirlwind trip, but it was really neat. I was impressed. I just forget what it was. A lot of help that is, isn't it? Limonene. Limonene is a very powerful fighter against cancer. It's in citrus fruits. Usually it's in the rind of the orange. In fact, orange is the cheapest source for this. So they cold press the rinds of organic oranges, and that's how to get your limonene, your orange oil. Now, you don't want to swallow it without it being in something like a capsule, because it can burn your esophagus. But I know I'm going out of the normal here. I probably shouldn't. But there's been a lot of studies, some studies, but a lot of people have done this where they've had cancer. And what the normal protocol is, you take 20 single-aught capsules a day of orange oil. And just take a dropper bottle, you know, take a dropper. One dropper will fill up one single-aught capsule. So you just go in from one to the next to fill them up. And you could just take the right size drill bit and just drill it in a piece of wood, all these little holes that go about halfway for the capsule. So right there you have your loader. You can just load all these things with orange oil, and then you take 20 a day. I will tell you that you will be dreaming, breathing, sleeping. You'll be doing everything orange oil. You'll be reeking of it. But there's been a lot of people that have had help because it just stops the cancer, all right? I'm not a doctor, so that's not a prescription. I'm just suggesting that. Broccoli, we talked about broccoli. Leeks, onions, garlic, chives, enjoy them. If you like them, go for it. Carotenoids. We've all heard of beta-carotene, and you can get beta-carotene in a capsule. But what about alpha-carotene? You can't get alpha-carotene in a capsule. You have to get it from the food. And alpha-carotene is more powerful than beta-carotene in its antioxidant properties. So we want to encourage you to eat whole foods. You can't go wrong with whole foods unless they were sprayed. This is tough. You know why? Because agribusiness in America has been doing it for, 50 years? Putting on the NPK only. NPK, NPK, NPK. It makes things grow. It makes things green. But what about all the minerals that used to be in that have been used up? Since 1940s, when the fertilizer became available, we don't put good things back in our soil. At least agribusiness has not. So your foods probably are diminished. So if you can grow your own garden, if you can build up your own soil, if you can remineralize it. I think it's a 10 ton of rock dust or gravel dust for 1 acre of growing area. We'll remineralize that. Now, that's what they suggest. Okay, I saw some people yawning, so we better keep moving. One apple a day, is it true? Yes. I won't read those for you, but just look at them. If you eat one apple a day, you get that protection. You can't go wrong with it. So enjoy your apples. Enjoy all your foods. And hopefully they haven't had toxins sprayed on them. But to make the most of it. More smart foods. Raspberries, blueberries, strawberries. Okay, these stop that cancer mutation. So the first thing, if you're eating these foods, when a cell wants to go bad, it wants to start to mutate into cancer. If you're eating these foods, it's going to stop that. Okay, so get them in your diet. Cranberry extract helps with the oral, colon, and prostate cancers. Grapes, we've heard of resveratrol that's in the grape seed or in the dark skin. Definitely make the most of it. In fact, you can even buy a pound of grape seed that's been powdered, and you can sprinkle it on your food every day. It's probably better to eat the grape, but you know what I mean? You can get the resveratrol that way. Have you heard of pycnogenol? All right, pycnogenol comes from pine trees. It's the inner bark. Most of us wouldn't go out and, you know, chew on a pine tree, but you can buy it. Anyway, they're called OPCs. We'll talk about them tomorrow night. When we talk about herbs, but powerful healers for your blood vessels, your brain, your eyes. Oh, peanut butter has resveratrol in it. You may not have known that. It has a lot of resveratrol in it. How many people like peanut butter? All right. I enjoy it too, but I want to tell you something. You have to be careful where it's grown, because if it's grown in the area that has mold issues, you're going to get a lot of aflatoxins that can be in the peanut if it wasn't stored properly. Also, China has found out that peanuts are the most wonderful plant that cleans up toxic spills. And then they sell their peanuts to who? Have you been to Walmart lately? Sometimes they don't have to list where the peanuts come from. I say that to encourage you. Have you heard of Maranatha brand of peanut butter and almond butter? Okay, they grow their peanuts up in the high altitude of New Mexico, and it's very dry. They don't have an aflatoxin problem. So I would like to encourage you to use Maranatha peanut butter if you're going to eat any peanut butter. It's a high-quality peanut butter. Okay, Swiss and Italians who love garlic and onions, you can see the increase or the decrease of cancers. So there again, you can't go wrong using what God made. Okay, this is a boring slide, but everything on the right are the good things and the things on the left. So just eat the things on the left to get the things on the right. Okay, eat your reds. Eat all your colors, but reds are super. Lots of vitamin C. I'm just going to run through this because we're going to wrap this up. Eat your bell peppers. Eat your hot peppers. Peppers are really good. They help with all kinds of issues. Yeah, there's lots of copper in cashews. We have learned, this is kind of interesting. We've learned at Eden Valley, when we used to use a lot of loaves and things that had a lot of cashew in it, we couldn't get people's triglycerides would, but the LDL, the lousy, the bad cholesterol, wouldn't go down. And sometimes it'd go up. And so we changed the kitchen somewhat, and there's a lot less nut use, and there's no problem now. No, everybody's cholesterol is going the right direction. But anyway, cashews are great, and I must say raw cashews, those planter ones that were boiled in oil or whatever, those aren't so good. Anyway, magnesium, they have lots of magnesium in them as well. And as I said, we need magnesium to get the calcium into our bones. We need magnesium to help us from being so tight, so irritated, so tight wound. It helps us to loosen up, helps us to sleep better. Okay, get your walnuts, that good omega 6 and 3 there. Lycopene. We've heard a lot about lycopene. Yes, it's very important for prostate issues, but they found that when you mix broccoli and tomatoes together, it's even better at reducing tumor sizes. So eat your broccoli with tomatoes. And they often say that the tomato paste is better than the actual tomatoes because it's more concentrate. There's more lycopene in that. I was in New York in May and have a friend there. We were putting on presentations and he said, "See that building down there?" He said, "That's where they bring all the apples and they make cider." And he says, "And you know what the apples they use for cider?" He says, "They take the scoop." It's the nasty stuff on the bottom. Okay. Juicy, you can't pick it up, you have to scoop it. I'm just wondering, though, what they make the tomato paste out of. Anyway, just think about it. Okay, these are some really nice cancer fruits, and this is not an exhaustive list by any means. There's so many good fruits and vegetables out there. But these are good ones, ones with color. The deep blues or purples, the deep reds. We want to recommend that for cancer and to bring your body up to top snuff. If you're having any blood vessel issue, problems with your blood vessels, either in your eyes or your legs, you want to eat white fruit, pears, apples. Those are very good for rebuilding the circulatory system. So pass that on to you. Moving on here. Vegetables. These are some good ones. There's a lot more out there. Like I said, I know tonight wasn't rocket science, but I just wanted to impress people that please try to make conscious choices to go out of your way, out of the normal routine of eating, and try to get more colorful foods, more fresh and raw food in your diet. And remember, if that you have to make a choice between another piece of bread or Brussels sprouts. Go for the Brussels sprout. Let me see here. Should we stop? Should we go on a little bit more? Okay, I've got the okay. We deal with a lot of cancer. Folks that come to Eden Valley, and we just want to talk a little about the stages of cancer, the growth of the cancer, and foods that will help, that can help turn that around. Okay, you have the initiation. That's where the DNA maybe has been messed up, or some people say that there's a microbe. A very small microbe that gets in your cells and makes them to start fermenting their sugar. So there's different theories out there, but nonetheless, let's look at this. Okay, initiation, the cell starts to go bad. A good diet, you want those carotenoids, those dark green leafy vegetables, those yellow and orange fruits. We have good counsel in a book called Counsel on Diet and Foods. And the recommendation is that we should eat greens every day. It's good to have greens every day. And your sulforanes, your broccoli, cabbage, and Brussels sprouts are very good for that. Your flavonoids, berries and grapes are loaded with that. Okay, next stage. Stage two is progression. And this is where the cancer hasn't exploded, but it might be like cervical dysplasia. It may be like the keratinosis that AIDS patients get, where it's on their skin. They have lots of blotches. All right. Spirulina, chlorella, the blue-green algaes, and the onion skin are very important. They have that quercetin in them, and also the bromelain, which comes from pineapple. It's very good. It can stop that. A lot of people, they have a high meat intake. The pancreas is doing all it can to break down protein that you're eating, all right? But also in your body, there are protein covering cancer cells. And you need these enzymes to also help break down these cancer cell membranes that hide them from your immune system, all right? Your immune system needs to be able to identify cancer. And so the bromelain is great for that because it's an enzyme that's going to help break down that protein covering. So make the most of these foods. And if we do it now, before cancer comes, that's awesome. Okay, progression. Okay, have you heard of the arachidonic acid? Okay, arachidonic acid forms usually because we have a very acidic diet, a lot of sugar, a lot of meat, or a lot of chemicals in our food preservatives. This can cause this arachidonic acid to form, and it's like throwing gasoline on a fire when you're dealing with the cancer. It just makes it explode and grow that much faster. So you really need to reduce that cascading effect of the arachidonic acid, of what it does to the cancer. And the omega-3 is a very important thing to stop that. So, flaxseed oil, your soys, your nuts, things like that can be very helpful for that. Also, tangerines are very important because they have tangeretin in them. And this is a good for that stage. Okay, metastasis. Well, we know the cancer escapes and it starts going through the body. It starts going through the basement membranes of your organs. It goes from one to the next. It's scary when it gets to that part. And there are some things that definitely help. The resveratrol. So if we're eating grapes already, if we're eating these things that have the resveratrol in them, the limonene, the tangeretin, and the grape seed extract, these are all nice interventions to help at those times. Also, has anyone heard of Dr. Matthias Rath? Very interesting studies. He has found out that there are some amino acids called L-lysine and L-proline. And when you mix these two with vitamin C, and they're very inexpensive, that helps your collagen of your cells. It makes good collagen. And if you know, cancer or your immune system can go through cell walls, no problem. All right, the cancer has more difficulty. And so if you have a strong collagen base in your body, you have proper vitamin C with L-lysine and L-proline, you have good cellular skin health, I guess you could say. Very important. And they've been able to stop metastasis just by doing that. So those are very important things. And it's very cheap to do as well. Okay, you have migration, it goes through the body. Okay, you just want to keep eating good, healthy food. Angiogenesis is where you might have They say when cancer cells group together, and when you get 60 cells to 80 cells, they start submitting or emitting a hormone to the body that causes the body to build roads, all right, to make blood vessels to feed it. So it's kind of evil, you know? It's like a parasite. And so you want to stop that from happening. And there's some wonderful things that you can use to do that. As it says up here, grapes, your anthocyanins, which are found in cherries, grapes, and plums, your isoflavonoids that are found in soy. All right. Now, do you guys have bindweed? Does bindweed grow here? I know it grows in Texas, Colorado, Kansas. It's kind of like a miniature morning glory. And they go around everything, and farmers hate it, you know, because it covers everything. Well, did you know that that's a wonderful anti-angiogenesis? It's going to stop that cancer from growing. It's going to make it regress. So you can go out and pull weeds out of your yard if you have them and eat them like salad, or you can make a tincture out of it. You can dry it and make capsules out of it, and it will stop that. So just another tool that God gave to help fight these things. We'll make this the last, okay? I want to whet your appetite. This is God's method. The herbs that grow for the benefit of man and the little handful of herbs kept and steeped and used for sudden ailments have served tenfold, yes, 100-fold better purposes than all the drugs hidden under mysterious names and dealt out to the sick. Tomorrow night, I want to encourage everybody to get into the outside world, to learn the environment that you live in and what plants grow. Because there's a lot of help out in nature. And we want to go through a sizable list of different herbs and what they're good for and what they can help you with. So we want to hit that tomorrow night. And then I want to welcome you to come Sunday morning. I believe it's going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have a hands-on. We're going to learn how to do, if you haven't done it, charcoal poultices and clay poultices, how to put herbal concoctions together that are very simple and work very well. So, you know, simple remedies. We want to equip you, if you're interested, how to help other people and how to help yourself. And you can save a lot of money, and it's fun, too. It's fun to be able to help people. And some of us are like know-it-alls. We like to tell people. Anyway, hopefully, God bless you guys. And if there's any questions, I can do my best to help with those. But anyway, have a blessed evening. Maybe, can we have a word of prayer? Do you want me to have a word of prayer to stop with? Or sir? Me? Okay. Why don't we have a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, you have given us this wonderful food to eat. And I know man has taken it and changed it. But help us, Lord, to learn how to be able to eat food that's healthy, that's nutritious, that's healthy. Help us, Lord, to learn the simple things that we can do to help other people and ourselves, our family, to be a blessing to them. And Lord, we just want to thank you for giving us all these wonderful things. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.